Take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 13. 2 Samuel 13. I'll ask if you have a cell phone on that you turn it off so it doesn't disturb during the service. If you need to step out for some reason, please step out quietly and uneventfully. Step toward the back. Let's not use this front door. 2 Samuel chapter number 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. I want you to stand with me, if you would, please. 2 Samuel chapter number 13. I'm going to read, starting with verse number 1, 2 Samuel chapter 13. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. She was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. When thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. And Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat of her hand. Now I want you to look at verse number 14. The Bible says, Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. The sermon this morning is called Bad Friends. Bad Friends. Let me pray. Father, bless the sermon. Lord, the sermon primarily today is to the born-again Christian. I pray, God, that we will realize that our associations will either make us better or worse. Bless with thy Spirit's presence, please. Limit the interruptions. Give my mind clear thought so that we might deliver the sermon and maybe just salvage someone's Christian life as they are warned about bad friends. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. Brother Dave, I'm going to use this mic, and so give me a little more treble on it and a little less bass and a little more volume, at least toward me. In the passage of Scripture that you just heard, there are basically three characters. There's Amnon, Jonadab, and Tamar. Amnon had a so-called friend. His name was Jonadab. And I say so-called friend because as you listen to the Scripture and as I tell the story, you'll find out Amnon had a friend that was a bad friend. And this friend makes a mess of somebody else's life. Amnon had a half-sister. Her name was Tamar. She was very evidently an attractive girl. And sad thing happens here. Amnon had been looking at his half-sister, and he lusted upon her. Jonadab, the bad friend, and Amnon had been spending some time together. Matter of fact, in my opinion, they had evidently spent too much time together. And Amnon tells his bad friend, Jonadab, about his desire for his half-sister. In other words, he says, you know, I've been checking my sister out, and I'm having sexual thoughts about her. Jonadab was a bad friend. And Jonadab convinces Amnon to do the following. He said, here's what you do. If you would like to have your half-sister, what you do is you stay home one day and you play like you're sick. Then you lie to your dad and tell your dad that you're sick. Then ask that your half-sister Tamar, that she would come and take care of you. And she'll cook you a meal. And then when everybody's gone and she's cooking you the meal and you've lied to everyone that you're sick and she comes to your room, you grab her. And then you can have your way with her. You know, this is terrible. You know what happened? Amnon listened to that friend and did exactly what his friend recommended. And so, he lied. He said, I'm sick. He stayed home. He told his dad he was sick. He said, have Tamar come take care of me. She fixed him a meal. She came to give him that meal. He grabbed her. The Bible teaches that he forced himself upon her. He raped her. And it's a terrible story. What caused that to happen? Picking the wrong friend. Picking the wrong friend. Jonadab was a bad friend. I'm going to give you a couple observations about this story. And I think in so doing, if you'll listen to what I say, I can warn all of us about what friendships can do to us and what bad friendships can cause. For instance, let me say this right off the bat. Did you know that friends can become too familiar with one another? Friends can spend too much time with friends. I know that might seem odd to you, but these friends, Jonadab and Amnon, had spent so much time together that their conversation had become sinful. You know, folks, if you spend too much time with a friend, before long, you're saying things and doing things around that friend that you used to be guarded about. But you let your guard down. And now, that which you were more appropriate with, you become free with it. I would like to say to everybody in here, don't you ever get so close to a friend that you cease to want to be a Christian influence on that friend. See, a lot of times you'll meet somebody and you'll want to, you want to feel them out a little bit and see what kind of music would they listen to and what kind of words would they use and what kind of moral compass do they have. So you're real careful to feel that thing out. But if you're not careful then, you'll get around them long enough and you begin to drop your guard. And you get around them so much that suddenly you begin to lose your spiritual edge or your reservation. And I'm just telling you, in this case, there's no doubt about it. Amnon and Jonadab spent so much time together, one was willing to actually tell of a sinful passion that he had to another, and the other felt like he could then use his influence to encourage immorality and a virtual rape that tears a family all the way apart. Let me tell you all something. Your friends can destroy your family. Not just you. It can destroy the other parts of your family. I don't know, maybe Amnon and Jonadab spent the night together and they stayed up talking about things about which they shouldn't talk. Maybe they were texting buddies, if I could use modern day vernacular. Maybe they were email buddies. They were talking about things and they were talking about things. You know, folks, there's some of you, you spend too much time sharing too much information with your texting and your emailing and you put it out there and you talk and you talk and you talk and you talk and you talk. And before long, you're talking about things you shouldn't be talking about. And what have you done? You have built a friendship that is in the process of destroying you and could destroy a lot of other things. Huh. Friends can get so close that they drop their guard and end up in trouble. I would recommend to everybody here that you keep enough distance between you and your friends that you're not comfortable sinning around them. I said that you're not comfortable sinning around them. There are people in this room, when you first met, you would not have dared cuss around your friend. Because you knew that you needed to be a good Christian, and they had given the impression that they were a good Christian. Now you've been around each other so much, it doesn't bother you to cuss anymore. It doesn't bother you to talk filthy anymore. You're too close. You should have kept an appropriate distance that would have kept the Christian edge up to where you wouldn't have given in or they wouldn't have given in. Are you comfortable sinning in the presence of your so-called friend? You just happen to be listening to a pastor that thinks sometimes you need to change friends. Change friends. Folks, you're better off not probably, I would recommend this, you're probably better off not having one best friend. You say, why? Well, if you have one best friend and that one best friend goes off the deep end, does something stupid, you got a good chance of following them. But you know something? If you've got more than one good friend, if one good friend goes bad, you've got other good friends you can attach yourself to. But the human race is so anemic and cowardly and dependent on other people. If you've only got one good friend and that good friend goes sour, you may go with him. Very few people have the courage to stand on their own two feet. And when a friend goes bad, they stay true to God and do the right thing. So I might tell you, if you've only got one best friend and you say, but they love God right now, what are you going to do next week if they don't? And I'll tell you this also, you're better off not having any friends than having friends that would pull you away from God. Men, do you have a friendship at work that's destroying you? You say things at work that you wouldn't say at church. You look at things at work that you wouldn't look at church. And it's because you got around some friend, so-called, that's going to ruin you. And again, I say to you, you're better off having no friends than to have friends that will pull you away from God. But in this story, what I see is there were two friends that spent so much time together that they let their guard down, and now they're acting and they're saying and they're behaving in a way they never would have. And everybody here that knows anything, especially around the church, everybody monitors everyone at first. Well, figure out, are you one of the good guys or one of the bad guys? Well, what are you? What do you really believe? What don't you believe? And we all kind of check each other out. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to drop your guard. You'll get close to someone. And before long, two people that started out giving the impression they love the Lord, they drop their guard and show you what's behind the pulled curtain. And you're behaving in such a way that you should have never behaved. But in this story, two friends were way too close. And they were sinning and not bothered by one another's inappropriate behavior. But not only that, not only do I think that two friends can become too familiar to the point where the Christian edge is not kept up, but a bad friend in this story was available to the king's child. Amnon was King David's son. Now, just so you all know, if you're born again, you are a child of the king. You're a child of the king. And I'm not sure, but it looks to me like the child of the king in this story, the plotting of this rape that took place, it probably happened on the king's property, at the king's house. Well, if you're a Christian, you're a child of the king. Do you know where you're at today? You're at the king's house. You're at the church house. This is the church property. And I just got to tell you something, folks. You should never come to the church, meet people, and then begin to plot with those people to do bad things. It shouldn't be that way. Listen, I believe that Amnon and Jonadab had their discussions setting in one of the rooms at the king's house. Well, so you all understand, every room in this building is a room in the king's house. You shouldn't be sitting in the nursery talking about things that shouldn't be talked about with the other nursery worker. You shouldn't be sitting in a Sunday school class planning things. Teenagers, you don't come to the church property, go upstairs to the youth wing, sneak your phone out, and show somebody some pornography or some filth that you've been looking at. You don't do that at the king's house. You don't do that. If you're a real friend, you wouldn't be doing that kind of junk. Oh, but this happened at the king's house. Somebody had a friend at the king's house. They were too close to each other. That bad friend came available at the king's house. Look, when we're at the church, this ought to be a place where we're encouraging one another to do right. I would say this. I don't think you ought to say anything in private to a friend that you wouldn't say to everybody in public, because God hears everything.
Jonadab was considered a man in the king's service, but he was a wicked man, and he was a fake. You know, I want you all to understand something. We've got some great people here at our church. There are a lot of good, godly, sincere Christians. None of us think that we're perfect, but I think there are some people here that are really trying to serve the Lord. I think there are teenagers in our youth department that want to serve God. They're not phony. They're not fake. They're not putting up a front. They're not tolerating the old-time religion, just waiting to break away and go do their own thing. They're not faking everybody out. There's some real ones around here, but there's some fakes. Sorry to tell you, there's some fakes. You better be careful yoking up with the fake, because the fake will help take one of the real Christians and pull them down. And just like with Jonadab and Amnon, before long a bad friend has convinced another to do wrong. And they did it at the king's house. You say, Pastor, this boy, this girl, this man, this woman, they've been in the church for years. Doesn't matter how long they've been in the church. Matters how are they living. Matters that for which they stand. Are you getting drawn away by the bad crowd? Well, obviously there's a bad crowd out in the world, and you don't have to be real bright to figure that out. Your friendships ought to be built around godly Christian people. Built around the people at the church, and you better find the right kind of a church where the pastor's not afraid to stand up and tell you. Not everybody out there qualifies for being a close friend to you. I think you ought to be friendly to everybody, but cautious with your friendships and who you're going to spend time with. Hey, are you finding yourself in the bad crowd? Wait a minute. Maybe you are the bad crowd. Maybe you're the one I'm talking about. But in this story, there was a bad friend. I'm amazed. People really, they admire the term friendship. They admired it so much, they'll let their friends destroy them. Let me tell you, friends will make you or break you. Your friends tell us a lot about the direction where you're going. Your friends tell us what your true intent is. So, first of all, two friends can spend so much time together that they start saying and doing things with one another they would never do with somebody else who they had not figured out. And so, you know, if your friends have figured you out, and then you can stand around and cuss and criticize and tear things down, and by the way, and talk about immorality, if they figured you out, that's a slap to your face, because they figured out you're not real and they're willing to share that kind of junk with you. Something went awry. So, friends can spend so much time together. They reveal their weaknesses that can destroy them and their friend. Not only that, it can become available at the church. But number three, you know that a friend who encourages you to do what you want to do is a bad friend. A friend that encourages you to do what you want to do is a bad friend. Jonadab was a bad friend. You know what Jonadab said to Amnon? Why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day? You know what he was saying? Amnon, do what you want. Don't you let anything restrain you. Live it up. Be what you want. Don't let daddy's religion hold you back. Don't let what mama's morality hold you down. Don't let your preacher, what he believes, don't let that take a big chunk of fun life away from you. That's what he was saying. Go do what you want to do. So you all understand, the Bible does not teach that you and I are to do what we want to do. There was a time in history where he said it was a total chaos and anarchy because every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, your friends will not encourage you to do what you want to do. Your real friends will encourage you to do what God wants you to do. Friends should encourage you to do what God wants. A friend tells you the truth about your sin. It's sad. You almost can't say to someone personally, don't do that. They'll be offended. You know, if somebody loves you, they're willing to say to you, that's not good. Don't do that. Young people, you teenagers, you say, I want to be a true blue friend. Well, good. When you find out that your friend is doing something wrong, tell him it's wrong. Tell him it's sin. You don't have to hate him while you do that. Now, you know, it's a good thing that God does not call the masses of people in this world to be preachers, because you all just wouldn't work out. You've got to have the courage and the backbone to get up and tell people that you love them, and then tell them the truth and tell them the difference between right and wrong, and love them all the time that you do it. But the average person cowers when it comes time to tell someone, we don't do that. That's wrong. You are so worried about your relationship, you're going to let sin destroy it. A friend does not encourage a friend to do what they want. Friends encourage friends to do what God wants. Are you closer to God because of your friend, or further away? You met a friend. You used to be faithful to church, but now you're not. What happened? You got this new friend. You used to want to serve God. Now it's, I don't know. What happened? You got a friend pulling you away? You got a friend pulling you down? Do you have a friend that's diluting your Christianity? Do you look forward to church or not? You used to. You used to look forward to being involved. You used to look forward to write. You used to look forward to the music. You know what? Now the music's dead and dry and boring to you. Why? Because you and your friend, you share bad music. What happened? Bad friend got a hold of you, huh? I'll teach you something about friendship. I pick my best friends by picking people that spiritually intimidate me. I want to pick a friend that I know there's no way in the world will ever tell dirty jokes, will never cuss, will never look at filthy pictures, will never sit around and gossip. I'm going to pick a friend that scares me to death spiritually. I'm not going to pick an anemic, tail between their legs Christian that will pull me down. I want to pick somebody that's got the courage to stand up to me. That's the kind of friend I need. You see, I want to be good for my friends. I want my friends to be good for me. Hey, pick a friend who wants God's will for your life. When your friend says, well, what do you want to do? You know what ought to come in your head immediately? It doesn't matter what I want to do. It matters what God wants me to do. Folks, do you understand that if you lie down with the dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas? If you play with a pig, you're going to smell like one when you're done. You're going to find yourself eating their slop and a curl in your tail. Real friends cause their friends want to do more for God, not less. Real friends cause their friends to want to be more pure, not less. Real friends will cause you to love your mom and dad more, not less. The Bible's clear. We're not to make friendships with the world. We're to do it in the church. But if you're going to do it in the church, you need to be careful. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The Bible says we're not to have friendships in the world, and then we're to be careful having friendships with carnal Christians. Be friendly. We're all to be friendly. We're all to be kind. I would give my enemy the shirt off my back. I am glad to be kind to people that I will not be close friends with. So, may I say, friends can spend too much time together. to the point that the Christian edge has been taken off, and they're sharing negatives, they're sharing bad things, they're sharing things they shouldn't. If you're that close to someone, you need to back off. You, obviously, can't handle it. Back off. Bad friends are available at church. A friend who encourages you to do what you want is not encouraging you to do what God wants. Do you know the devil does not care how you mess up your life? You know what? He comes to you and says, you know something? Rick Young, go do what you want. Or Rick Young, devil might say, the devil says, Rick, come do what I want. You know what his ultimate goal is? Just as long as you don't do what God wants. Rick, you can do what you want. Rick, you can do what Susan wants. Rick, if you want, you can do what I want as the devil. Hey, you pick what you do. Pick anything. Just don't do what God wants. Just don't do what God wants. That's the devil's goal. Not only that, you know a friend that would want you to hurt your family is a bad friend. Jonadab encouraged Amnon to rape his half-sister. Look, folks, if you're with people that would dare want you to hurt your family, don't you think you ought to wake up and realize that's not the right thing to do? Friends don't encourage friends to hurt their family. You young ladies, or some of you young ladies, your parents have reared you to be pure. And to be honest, they've reared you to be pure and virgin, to walk down an aisle and get married someday. If you have a friend that would dare take that dream away from your parents, that's a bad friend. There are young men in here. You've been brought up in the kind of church where you've been taught. You've been taught morality and cleanness. You've been taught that you were reared to be a one-man woman. Let me tell you something. Your parents taught you that. That's their dream. By the way, that's what the Bible teaches, and that's right. If some young lady comes along and she wants to flaunt her stuff in your face, and she wants you to dare step outside the guidelines of biblical morality, that's not a real friend. You better be careful making friendships with people that want to dog your mom and dog your dad and dog your brother and dog your sister. That's not good friendship. Men, you better be careful that the people at work don't hurt your family. Hey, you men, you got some woman at work showing her stuff off, flirting with you. You better guard your children. You better guard your wife. You better guard your marriage. Men, you don't need to be that hungry for a friendship that you got to flaunt and flirt. People who encourage you to hurt your family, those are not good friends. They're just flat out not good friends. And let me say to every married person in here, let me teach you something, and if you listen to me, I can help you. Okay, so you struggle with your husband, or you struggle with your wife, and things are not going well. I'm explain it to you. I've been doing this a long, long time. I've helped a lot of marriages through the years. Listen to me very carefully. So you and your spouse are not getting along, and you're not talking like you wish you could talk, and you don't date like you wish you could date, and you're not together as much as what you want to be physically. So what do? The devil comes along, and he'll say to you, you know what? I think I'll find someone for you to talk to. So the woman reaches out to a man that she can talk to. Devil said, step one, accomplished. And before long, you're pouring out your guts to another man about what you don't like about your husband. Step two, accomplished. Now you've got this friend who's a man that you can talk to all you want and tell him all that's not right with you. And hey, he is probably a married man that's not getting along with his wife. And you guys are buddies. And the devil says, let's even talk marriage counseling between the two of us. We could even talk about our sexual encounters with our mates. And the devil says, aha, gotcha. And in a moment of passion, you goof up. Ladies, you're struggling with your marriage. You don't need to go find a man to talk it out with unless it's your pastor or spiritual guider. Go find a woman. Talk to your mama. But you don't need to find a man. Men, You don't need to find another woman to coach you through what you're going through with your wife. Devil sets you up royal. I've counseled adulteries. I've counseled fornication. I've counseled pregnancies out of wedlock. And this is what I have found in the church. It always starts out that they're friends. Really. They are, I needed a friend. I never counseled an adultery among God's people to where they didn't start out truly friends. They were just talking. But, Brother Edward, stand up for a second. They started out as friends that were this far apart, and then friends that were this far apart, and then friends that were this far apart, and I ain't getting no closer. You listen, and I know there's many of you that 15, 20 years older than me, but you listen to a pastor that's been around the block. We get to reaching out, and you maybe even do it very sincerely at first, but I'll recommend to every lady in here, you get to struggling with your marriage. If you need counsel from your pastor, fine, but you don't need to be reaching out to men at work and men that you met on the internet and men that you're emailing with and men that you text with and vice versa. Men, you don't need to be reaching out to some other woman. You say, but I need somebody of the opposite sex to calm me. Let God calm you. A bad friend will take something away from you. You'll regret losing. See, any friend that would cause you to hurt your family, that's not godly friendship, folks. You know, they say, friends don't let friends drink and drive. I think that's true. But friends don't encourage friends to do wrong against their own family. But that's what happened in this story. In this story, two people got too close. They shared sinful intimacies. They actually met at the king's house. Then a friend encourages a friend to do what they want. Please yourself. No, you're supposed to please God. A friend encourages a friend to hurt his family. Then, did you know that a friend that will encourage you to lie is a bad friend? Jonadab tells Amnon, he said, lie about being sick. Lie to your dad. Lie to your sister Tamar. You understand where those lies led? Get this. Lie to your mom. Lie to your dad. Lie. Then the immorality came. Lie, lie, immorality. Lie, lie, immorality. Lie, lie, immorality. What happened here? If you have a friend that is, you're sharing lies with them, you're conjuring up lies with them, they're encouraging you to lie, and you think that's real friendship? Not according to the Bible. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Friends don't encourage friends to lie. Are you more like Jesus because of your friend? Jesus is the truth. Friends don't lie for friends. Hey, listen. Friends don't encourage husbands to lie to their wives. Friends don't encourage wives to lie to their husbands. Friends don't encourage daughters to lie to their mom or dad. Friends don't encourage sons to lie to their mom and dad. Friends don't encourage church members to lie to God or lie to their pastor. Friends don't encourage that. But that's what he did. Oh, and the mess that followed that started with the lies. Next, a friend who would want you to bring shame to yourself, to your Lord, to the church, is not a true friend. 2 Samuel 13:13, it says, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Tamar said, you're making a fool out of yourself. What are you doing? Said, you're making a fool out of yourself. Having a foolish friend will cause you to act foolishly. Some of you have friends that are convincing you to do things you would have never done had you never yoked up with them. Have you already embarrassed yourself? How many times have your parents warned you about that type of a relationship in life? Folks, the wonderful thing about preaching a sermon like this, I make sure that I come to the pulpit with my heart clear. You say, Pastor, is this sermon for me? Not that I know of. Say, who are you shooting at? Nobody. Nobody. I don't know of any problem I have in church. Are you getting shot at? Well, I wonder who's doing that. I wonder who's all over your case. Some of you, I don't even know you. You're sitting back there saying, if I could get you right now. I'll be the subject of texts and emails today over this sermon. You and your friend. But I went out to get you. I was out to tell you the truth. I don't know if anybody in my church is messing around. If you are, the Holy Spirit knows. He's all over your case. You're squirming. You're saying, this sermon's got to be over with soon. He's always done by a certain time. I just added 15 minutes to that. A friend who would want you to bring shame to your church, your Lord, your family is not a true friend. Not only that, a friend who would want you to be immoral is a bad friend. And I'm going to park it here for a second. You're going to have to put up with the old-time religion for just a minute. Men and women are to keep their hands off of each other until they're married. You young people, don't talk, girls. Pay attention right up here. You're not to have sex out of wedlock. The Bible teaches that. And I know I'll go down as an old-time flunky kind of a pastor, but that's where I stand, and I don't plan to change. It'll make you happier. It'll keep you. And you say, well, we're close. We love each other. If you love each other, you'll wait. You'll wait. It's the safest. It's the best thing. Hey, and our society's catching up with it a little bit. You know, I'll tell you what they did. They said, you know, this thing, we got disease spreading all over the place and unwanted pregnancies. They said, so what we'll do is we'll start a sex education program in our schools, and we'll tell everybody to use devices that will hinder the children from being born. But they found out the devices were not coming in as handy as what they needed to, and now they're saying abstinence is the best thing. And it is, and it always has been. And the United States government did not come up with that. That book said it alone. Long time ago. You're to keep your hands off of each other until you get married. You say, well, I'm never coming back to this church. Well, don't let the door hit you in the backside on the way out, because around here, we're old-time religion. This will keep you safe. And young people, your pastor loves you. And I'm just trying to tell you, if you don't listen, you'll get your heart broken. Hey, you get pregnant out of wedlock. You get a girl pregnant out of wedlock. You'll be embarrassed. You'll embarrass your mom. You'll embarrass your dad. You'll embarrass your brothers and sisters. Hey, but now I'll love you, and I will help you. I promise you that. You mess up, I'll help you. But I'm trying to make you realize a friend that will try to convince a friend to be immoral, that's not friendship. And you married people. You have some friend that you get too close to. And all of a sudden you creep up to that moment of immorality. And listen, you think they're your friend? Someone that would steal from your husband or steal from your wife that which is most precious. That's not friendship. That's not friendship. And there's no real true love between two people that are married to a spouse in a relationship that's immoral with another person. You say, well, I just love that second person. No, you don't. That's not godly love. It's lust, it's wrong, and it's sin. A friend who would encourage you to be immoral is not a friend. God will not give you godly love for somebody that's married to somebody else. Say, well, Brother Owens, I'm a good-looking man. Brother Owens, you just don't understand it. I'm a lady killer.
Yeah, they just smell your breath and drop dead, buddy. That's what it is. And I'll warn you, if you're a pretty girl, if you're a good-looking man, you better work double dog hard at it. They'll come your way. They'll throw it at you. But it doesn't make it right. Still wrong. I'm finished, but I just want to tell you this. Here's what happens. You get the wrong kind of friend, they'll get you into things, and they've got so much experience, when the hammer comes down, they'll figure out a way to get out of it while you get in trouble. The Bible says Jonadab was a very subtle man. He said to Ammon, let me tell you how to do this. He set his buddy up, then stepped out. The other guy's life and family was destroyed. You know, 2 years after Tamar's rape, Amnon is put to death for it. 2 years after the rape, Jonadab is alive and well. I'll tell you what will happen. Girls, go ahead and turn your purity over to him. When he walks, you'll be sorry. Oh, Lord, you love me. If you love me, you'll wait. You're going to find yourself stuck. You know, bad friendship just has bad results. Amnon lied to his dad. Amnon lied to Tamar. Amnon raped Tamar. Amnon stole her purity. He destroyed his own testimony. He lost a chance to be a spiritual influence over Jonadab. Amnon is killed by Absalom's servant. Tore the family apart. You know what Amnon ends up saying? I hate what I've done. So the devil dangles it out there. He says, look at this. And you're like a puppy. And the devil's got a pork chop. And you're going, ha. The devil says, come on. You're going to like it. He throws you the pork chop, and it makes you sick. He walks away, and he says, I got you. You've crossed the line. You've created a mess. You've lost your husband. You lost your wife. You lost your purity. You lost your testimony. And the other guy goes free. In this story, he went free. He walked away. A family is being destroyed. And the other guy walks away. And probably sneaks his way into another family. You adult ladies, go ahead and go mess around. The guy you're with is probably with somebody else and you don't even know it. You're not the only sucker he's got on the line. You men might want to be careful where you go, where you park. Might end up with a disease that you don't want. Say, oh, she's so pure. Then why is she with you? If she's so good, why is she cheating with you? I guess she's not so good after all, is she? Friendships will make you or break you. Got good news for you. Jesus is a friend that will never leave thee nor forsake ye. And I realize I've not preached to the lost today. I preach to saved people. Folks, I just want you all to know, if you're saved, watch your friendships. Be friendly with everyone. But don't be best friends with just anyone. If you're unsaved, you better capitalize on the friendship Jesus makes available. If you're unsaved, you need to get born again. And you remember this, not a person in this world that I have in mind with this sermon. If you feel a pressure, and I don't know of anybody that's got a problem that I'm trying to fix, none. My conscience is clear. But if you say, oh, there's some people in my life right now that are influencing me the wrong direction, then let the Holy Spirit of God help you not to mess up. Somebody might need to change something. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Is there anyone under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I don't know I'm saved. If you need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Listen, there are some of you, your visitors today. What I'm about to say, I mean to you too. I love you. I want to be your friend. I want to help you. Oh, I've gotten loud, and you might say you got pretty huffy there. Listen, the whole purpose is to get a point across to you. There is a danger in bad friendships. Your friends are either causing you to be closer to Jesus or further away. You tell me which, and I'll tell you what kind of friend they are. You be cautious at work. You be cautious at school. You be cautious even within the church. Who here would say, God has spoken to my heart today, and this sermon, God has reached down and spoken to me, and you would raise your hand and let God see it. I see hands up all over the place. God bless you. God bless you. Excellent. You may put those hands down. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to signal the pianist. She's going to begin to play in just a moment. We're going to stand then. When we do stand, if you need a moment at this altar, you come. Some of you need to come down here and say, Lord, what do I do? I've got a couple friendships that need corrected. Give me the courage to correct them. Hey, I don't think there's any anky-panky or bad stuff going on anywhere in this building. But if there is, you may need to come down here and say, God, that's it. It's done. It's done. The wrong relationship's over. I'm bringing it to an end. It could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It could be married people that have got something going on. Get it right. I won't humiliate you. That's never my purpose. It's to help you. Some of you just need to come pray for your kids. But the altar will be open. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Teenager, if you need to come and say, you know, God, I need to be very careful. There's some things in my life I need to be careful of. You come. Guard the friendships in life. Guard them very carefully. Married men, married ladies, you guard yourself. Anybody that would try to come between a husband and wife, that's not friendship. That's not friendship. Husbands and wives, if you struggle and there's a coldness and a distance, you get with somebody to help you, but you don't need to run to another woman, sir, and you don't need to run to a man, ma'am. You'll make a mistake. I've seen it happen over and over again. Some of you talk to your friends so much they know every weakness. You've not done yourself a favor. You need help from your pastor, get help. You need help from your God, get help. But some of you go around revealing every weakness you have to everybody under the sun. You're setting yourself up for a fall. Say, but I met him or her at the church. Well, let me warn you. You can meet a bad person at the king's house. Truth is, I don't think I know of anybody in our church. I don't know of anybody that I'm describing, but I just know they're there. I've been at it too long. I've watched it happen. Ask the question again. Are you a better Christian because of him? Are you a better Christian because of her? Or worse? More on fire for God or less? More respectful for the Bible, mom, dad, morality, purity, or less? One more time through the song, and we'll be on our way. Today, we've used this story, and I've tried to give us guidance. And it's not just about morality, though, folks. There's so many aspects of life where friends can pull us down and away from God. This verse is just about over. If you need a moment at the altar, you're welcome to come. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. Folks, go ahead and have a seat there.